Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Strategy of Conflict by Thomas C. Schelling is a foundational work in economics, political science, international relations, and game theory. First published in 1960, it examines conflict not mainly as disorder or hostility, but as strategic interaction among parties whose interests partly diverge and partly overlap. Schelling focuses on bargaining, threats, promises, deterrence, coordination, and the ways actors influence one another by shaping expectations. The book is closely associated with Cold War nuclear strategy, but its arguments extend to diplomacy, labor disputes, business negotiation, law, and everyday coordination problems. Rather than presenting game theory as a purely mathematical discipline, Schelling uses vivid reasoning to show how real people and governments make commitments, communicate intentions, exploit ambiguity, and sometimes strengthen their position by limiting their own freedom of action. But its purpose is to explain how conflict can be managed, manipulated, or stabilized when each side must anticipate the choices of the other. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, conflict as bargaining under mixed motives. Schelling's central move is to treat many conflicts as bargaining situations rather than as contests of pure opposition. In a strike, diplomatic crisis, price dispute, or military standoff, the parties usually have incompatible preferences, but they also share an interest in avoiding mutually destructive outcomes. This mixed motive structure is what makes strategy important. If one side could simply impose its will, no bargaining analysis would be needed. If both sides had identical interests, coordination would be sufficient. Schelling studies the intermediate cases where each side wants a favorable settlement, but also wants the settlement to occur at all. This framing changes the meaning of power. Power is not only the capacity to harm, it is the capacity to affect another actor's expectations about what will happen if no agreement is reached. A threat, concession, delay, deadline, or public statement becomes strategically meaningful because it changes the bargaining environment. The book therefore shifts attention from preferences alone to the communication of intentions, the credibility of future actions, and the way choices are interpreted by opponents. Conflict is analyzed as a social process in which winning often depends on persuading the other side that certain outcomes are unavoidable, costly, or mutually preferable. Secondly, focal points in coordination without communication. One of the book's most influential ideas is the focal point, later widely called the Schelling point. A focal point is a solution that people converge on without direct communication because it appears natural, salient, unique, or mutually recognizable. Schelling's importance here lies in showing that coordination does not require formal agreement or explicit signaling in every case. Shared culture, precedent, symmetry, convention, geography, language, and even accident can make one option stand out from many possible alternatives. The reasoning is recursive. Each person asks not only what seems reasonable, but what the other person is likely to think seems reasonable, and what the other person expects them to expect. This concept has implications far beyond simple meeting place puzzles. It helps explain how norms emerge, why borders or deadlines can become stabilizing, why round numbers matter in bargaining, and why some compromises are easier to recognize than others. Focal points also reveal a limitation of purely formal game theory. Mathematical payoffs may leave multiple equilibria unresolved, while real human actors often use context to select one. Schelling, therefore, adds psychological and cultural realism to strategic analysis without abandoning rational reasoning. Thirdly, credible commitment through self-binding action. Schelling repeatedly emphasizes that a strategic actor may gain influence by reducing their own options. B. This is counterintuitive because freedom of action is normally treated as an advantage. In bargaining, however, a promise or threat is weak if the other side believes it will be abandoned when the moment comes. A commitment becomes stronger when it is observable, costly to reverse, or built into circumstances that make retreat difficult. Public pledges, delegated authority, automatic procedures, reputational stakes, and physical constraints can all transform a statement into a credible strategic move. The logic is that the actor changes the game before the main decision occurs. Instead of merely saying what they prefer, they alter future incentives so that following through becomes more likely. This idea explains why negotiators sometimes burn bridges, set deadlines, refuse channels of appeal, or place themselves in positions where backing down would be politically or materially expensive. Schelling is careful to show that such tactics are not magic. They work only when the other side can observe the commitment and believe it changes future behavior. The broader insight is that strategic power can come from arranging one's own constraints as much as from expanding one's capabilities. Fourthly, threats, promises, and the manipulation of risk. The book distinguishes between simple coercion and the subtler use of risk. In many serious conflicts, especially military and diplomatic ones, a threat may not be fully controllable or fully intended to be executed. Instead, An actor may create a situation in which events could escalate if the opponent does not change course. Schelling's analysis of brinkmanship shows how danger itself can become a bargaining instrument. The point is not necessarily to choose catastrophe, but to raise the probability of catastrophe in a visible way so that the other side has reason to avoid testing the threat. This is especially important in nuclear deterrence, where deliberate execution of total war would be irrational. Yet the possibility of uncontrolled escalation can still deter aggression. Promises operate differently, but face a similar credibility problem. A promise must convince the other side that cooperation will actually be rewarded after compliance occurs. Both threats and promises, therefore, depend on expectations about future behavior. Schelling's contribution is to explain why strategic communication often occurs through moves, deployments, limits, and risks, rather than through words alone. In this framework, uncertainty is not merely a defect of strategy, it can be deliberately structured to influence choices. Lastly, Cold War deterrence as a practical test of game theory. Although the strategy of conflict is not only about nuclear weapons, its Cold War relevance shaped its influence. Schelling applies strategic reasoning to a world in which the United States and the Soviet Union possessed destructive capabilities that made traditional victory difficult to define. Nuclear strategy required thinking less about battlefield conquest and more about deterrence, signaling, arms control, escalation, and mutual restraint. The book helps show why the threat of retaliation had to be credible, why surprise attack incentives mattered, and why communication between adversaries could reduce the risk of disaster without eliminating rivalry. It also clarified the difference between military power as direct force and military power as bargaining power. A weapon may matter not because it is used, but because it changes what the opponent expects will happen. This approach made game theory relevant to policy debates, but Schelling's style remained broader than technical modeling. He used formal ideas selectively, combining them with institutional observation and practical examples. The enduring importance of this topic is that it treats deterrence as an interactive system. Stability depends not only on one side's intentions, but on how intentions, capabilities, and signals are interpreted by the other side under pressure. In conclusion, The Strategy of Conflict is best suited for readers interested in strategic interaction rather than general conflict resolution advice. It is especially valuable for students and professionals in international relations, economics, political science, negotiation, security studies, law, and organizational strategy. Readers without a technical background in game theory can still benefit. Although some sections require patience because Schelling often reasons through abstract strategic structures, the practical benefit of the book is that it teaches readers to look beyond stated preferences and ask how commitments, incentives, timing, visibility, and shared expectations shape outcomes. It also encourages a disciplined awareness of how limiting one's own options, creating focal points, or managing risk can alter another party's choices. Compared with many later books on negotiation or strategy, it stands out because it is not a collection of simplified tactics or business anecdotes. Its strength is conceptual originality. Schelling identifies mechanisms that operate across nuclear deterrence, diplomacy, bargaining, and ordinary coordination. Compared with more formal game theory texts, it is distinctive for connecting analytic rigor to real-world ambiguity, psychology, and political stakes. The book remains important because it explains why conflict is often governed less by force alone than by credibility, expectation, and the strategic interpretation of possible futures. If you would like to support Thomas C. Schelling, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.